you believe it? We're already into 2013. Hard to believe, isn't it? I don't know where 2012 went. Did anybody else notice that it kind of went by like it was on jet skis or something? Or rocket propelled? You know, it just, boom, it's gone. And here we are. 6 days into 2013 already. I mean, I was talking to Leonard. He said, you know, and this week's a long week because we don't have a holiday again. I know. You know, it's one of those like, oh, can we take another day off or something? You know, we like those four-day weeks, right? Well, here we are. I told the first service, praise team, we were joking around a little bit. Bev said, are you talking to me? They sent me an email last night because they noticed that I had changed the message, and they had a comment about that too. And it wasn't because it was a change that hurt them, because what we had, well, God already knew what he was going to do. But this message that I was planning on preaching, I've been working on for like over 3 weeks. It's, you know, started working on before vacation, you know, and all this stuff. And thought, how have this out of the way? And it never would come together. It just kept circling around the drain. That's kind of what I call it, when it just won't come. And night before last, it changed. Anyway, so we were joking around about it a little bit. Something about a thick book or something, wasn't it? Yeah. But God led me to this because, I'll tell you, I think as Christians, what we've got to do, folks, is we got to look forward into 2013. It's so easy to look back. It's so easy to look at the circumstances and the things that are going on. But we need to be looking forward. And the only way that we can look forward and really have an impact in the back mountain, have an impact as Christians wherever we are, is to look forward with the right idea and the right attitude. And it really takes that. I want to share with you out of the passage, and Bev read a lot of it this morning, but I want to focus in on basically the first four verses of the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, primarily in on the fourth verse. But we're going to read verses 1 down through 5. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away, and when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and will mislead many. And you will hear the rumors of wars and of wars. Do not be frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. See to it that no one misleads you." In this world today, we are getting more and more mixed messages. Would you agree? Does it seem like there's more of them faster? Like they're kind of compounding? There's more mixed messages. There's so much stuff that is being thrown out there. And I'll tell you, for the Christian, if we're going to make it through 2013, and I really believe there's a hope, there is a real hope, and that's where we're going to go with this, but there is a real hope. The only way we're going to make it through is by obeying the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our eyes on him, and listening to his message. Because he's going to tell us exactly what we need to do, day in and day out. And we need that as Christians if we're going to show him. So as we move into this new year, you're going to be facing challenges. I'm going to be facing challenges. Every one of us will be facing new challenges. Amen? And you know, and some of them are going to be simple challenges, won't they? There's simple challenges in life. Some of them are pretty tough. And there may be even tougher ones. What's interesting is this isn't anything new. The disciples knew that. Do you know what they were doing? Why was it they were asking the question of Jesus that they're asking? Why was it they were asking, tell us, when will these things happen? Why were they asking that? Yeah, they wanted Jesus to hurry up and proclaim his kingdom, didn't they? They wanted him to hurry up. We want the day of the Lord now. Now, why was it like that? Well, they're living in occupied Israel. Amen. The Romans occupied almost all of the known world at the time. They were not exactly the nicest folks on the face of the planet. Guess what? The disciples wanted to see the Messiah, Jesus. They figured out that, okay, he's the Messiah. Come on, let's do your thing. Let's wipe out the bad guys. Let's make good things good, and let's have the good times roll. Amen? Don't we look for that ourselves? Do sometimes we not maybe look too much toward the future and say, oh, Lord, hurry up and come back. Amen? Amen. But what Jesus did, I found it interesting. He answered their question in such a way that I don't think they did backflips of happiness. He told them something they really didn't want to have to hear. He said, watch out and be sensitive for the times. Watch out and listen. Listen with spiritual ears. And you know, he wasn't speaking doom and gloom, was he? He wasn't saying go out and find yourself a hole and crawl into it. Because you and I can't be very good disciples if we're living in holes, can we? We live in the world. Amen. Isn't that where he put us? Amen? He said, I'm placing you out there in the world. And since you're out there, he said, I want you to represent me. I want you to show me wherever you go. And I'm going to tell you what, with the challenges and the things that face everybody, not just here in the United States, but all over the world, with the challenges and things that face Christians, we've got an awesome opportunity to really show Jesus Christ. But we just have to realize that we're going to have to trust him in all things. In all things. You see, I think there's some real comfort for the follower. I mean, we're followers of the Lord. Amen? So there's comfort in that. There's hope in knowing that, yes, he's got things under control. There's hope in knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he does come back right now, you and I are with him instantly. And that on down the road, he's going to bring in a 1,000-year reign of peace. Amen? But there's hope in that. And we've got this hope. We've got a hope, folks, that other folks don't have that do not know Jesus. And they need it. Because it's the only thing. It's the only thing that gives you an assurance. That gives you a rock-solid foundation. That makes it possible for you to walk out into this world with a smile on your face where you're showing Jesus Christ. Rather than going, oh, woe is me. Doom and gloom. Things are going to get bad. Oh, my. Amen? They're taking away my freedoms. They're taking away this. They're taking away that. Whoa, bury my head. I want to go off and find that hunting cabin out there in the wilderness. I want to do an Elijah thing. I want to go find a cave to go hide in. Amen? Now, is that where we're supposed to be? Huh? We've got hope. And we know Jesus. Amen? And with him, we've got the encouragement. Because why? Jesus won the battle. And guess what? The battle's won in him. Your battle, my battle, is won in Jesus Christ. I'm okay. Regardless of what happens. You're okay, regardless of what happens. God is in control. You guys couldn't have picked a better song no matter what. No matter what. Amen? No matter what. I mean, if you walk out of here today and you forget my sermon, remember that song. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what. What does it say? I'm going to do what? I'm going to love you. Who are we going to trust? Jesus. See, I just think it's cool. Because, I mean, I get upset about the stuff that goes on myself. You do too. Every one of you. But I've got a hope. I've got Jesus. and with him, I know things are okay. They're okay. They're okay for my family. They're okay for Jenny and me. They're okay for my church. They're okay for everybody that knows him. And you know what? That's going to give us some opportunities to be sharing. It's going to give us some opportunities to be telling some other folks about why we're so cotton-picking happy. Why we look the way we do. Why we act the way we do. Why we're not getting all frustrated and cussing everything out. No matter what, I'm going to love my Lord. Amen? Now, Lord gave me a teaching plan you guys are going to really enjoy, because it's not only going to be an enjoyment, but it's going to help us to strengthen in our faith. And that's one of the things I think it's so important, because we're coming out of this study that we completed not too long ago, you know, Faith in Motion, and it was all about salt and light, being salt and light out there in the world. But we've got to live it. It's not having gone through a study. That's not what it was about. It wasn't about, you know, writing this thing up and getting it published and putting it together and all this stuff. It's about learning how to live it. Amen. We've got a tool. All we got to do is put it into practice. Start using it. Because, you see, God wants us to be able to show his love. He wants us to be able to show the comfort. He wants us to be able to show who he is. And that's being salt and light. In other words, it's about being a Christian. Being. Living. Not doing. It's not about doing Christianity. It's not about doing religion. It's about being who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's really what it's about. That's salt and light. Because this Christian thingy thing just doesn't hack it. That gets old and boring and wears you down. But I want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be going through these next several weeks. And we're going to start off next week with a short seven-part series. And I call it Life Lessons Taught by Jesus in His Encounters with the Woman at the Well. We're going to look at John chapter 4. Okay? And that'll run us about 7 weeks. Then after that, that's a mini-series. You're going to get a mini-series, 7 weeks. And that's just to lead into the big one. Because then we're going to move into the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. Now, any of y'all that... I preach expositorily. And sometimes that means we may hit a verse. Sometimes that means we might hit a chapter. Okay? But we're going to go as long as God wants me to go. And we may deviate here and there as we go, but this letter to the Romans is so deep because it teaches us what the Holy Spirit really wants out of our lives and how he's going to work in us in order to really truly show Jesus Christ out there. Again, I might cover a couple verses in 1 week and I may cover a chapter in another. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do the guiding and let him run with it, okay? So it might be, we may be here for a year. We may be parked here for a couple of years. We may be parked here until the Lord comes home or he calls us home or something. Maybe after about a year, you'll be going, I wish he'd hurry up and call him home. You know. But I really believe that, you know, I think the reason why God took me to Romans is it is such an excellent letter of instruction for the Christians on how to live in troubled times. Because it gives us on how to be, it tells us better and shows us ways to really firmly get established in our faith. And we've got to, you know. I don't care whether you are a one-year-old Christian baby or whether you're a 90-year-old Christian adult. We need to be firmly established in our faith. Amen. And we will grow. You see, and you talk about application that comes right out of Romans and jumps right into 2013. It just jumps from back and forth, back and forth. The reason being is because those Christians were living in a time very similar to what you and I are living in today. They really were. They dressed a little differently. They talked a little differently. But you know what? They faced an awful lot of the same problems and the same issues. So I'm hoping that as we go through all of this, that we learn how to practice, we put into practice what the Bible is teaching us, and we start flavoring the world in which we're living with Jesus Christ and letting him be the representative who's out there in front of us. Amen? Amen. Now, for 2013, a couple of key things. One, that verse, chapter 4, or verse 4 of chapter 24. See to it that no one misleads you. Because I'm going to tell you, as we go into 2013, the pressures are going to continue to increase from the outside. They really will. All sorts of pressures. Things like, you need to compromise your faith some more in order to be more politically correct. That's going to become stronger out there in the world. Take my word. It really will. You're going to be pressured to acquiesce or to kind of throw over some of your moral and family values for what the people have in their agendas. It's coming. It's there now. It's going to get more. It really will. You're going to be hit with, that's offensive, even though it's the truth. You're going to have to learn how to stand firm. Amen? To show Jesus, we've got to stand firm. There's going to be this push, if you will, to just take for granted and take at face value and take as truth whatever leadership tells us. It's for your own good. Even though you have to give up stuff in order to do it. It's for your own good. Folks, it's not what the Word's saying. It's saying, listen to what Jesus is saying. We need to listen to what he's saying. We really do. Because all of these pressures that are going to come, that we're going to sense, and we'll sense them during 13. We sensed them in 12. We sensed them somewhat in 11. We sensed them a little bit back in 10 and previously. But it's getting more intense, is it not? I think everybody that's living in the world, you say, I mean, if you're not, you're going, I guess I'm not living in the world. Yeah, we are. Every one of us is living in the world, and we're sensing all of this stuff. And we might even hear people quoting Scripture, trying to justify their positions and stuff. But we need to start in 2013 as Christians. If we're really going to live Jesus Christ and show Jesus Christ and truly be the salt and the light, like he says that we're to be, we've got to start listening to him and make sure that all those other voices don't mislead us. But here's something really encouraging, okay? The disciples faced the same stuff. And look what Jesus did with his disciples. He launched the greatest movement that has ever happened in mankind's history. Amen. With 12 men. Amen? Amen? They were facing stuff under Rome that we can't even imagine. And they looked forward to the day of the Lord. But Jesus said, no, I'm not taking you out. You're staying there. Because you're my witnesses. You're my representatives. You're the one that's going to show my light. You're the one that's going to flavor. Pastor Clint talked last week a little bit out of Ephesians chapter 5. And he was sharing about how we have to be careful as the way we walk. We've got to be wise. Because we've got to make the most of our time. I don't know how many days are left, and I'm not going to be foolish enough to say, oh yeah, I believe that the end of the world is coming on such and such a day. Not hardly. There's been enough clowns that have said that already. I'm not adding my name to their list, believe me. Jesus said himself, he said, no one knows the day except the Father. You know, when God the Father tells Jesus the Son, Son, it's time to go back, guess what? We'll know. That's when we'll know. Not until. And God hasn't written, he hasn't written things and sent out little advance notices, has he? Now he sent signs that the things are speeding up. They're getting closer. But if we're really going to make it, we've got to understand that we've got to live today and we've got to live allowing Jesus Christ to live in us fully and be in control of our lives. I think the disciples saw the things that were going on all around them, and they were concerned. And they, Jesus was really trying to pull them back into reality and say, you know what, guys, this is where you live. You cannot forget that you are here on earth, but you can take hope in the fact that your time is limited. It's not going to endure for, you're not going to have to endure this forever. I mean, we won't endure forever, will we? Amen? You and I will not endure forever. It won't happen. I mean, the Lord may call us home. He may come back to get us. And that's what Jesus was telling them. Paul talked a little bit later on, you know, in that verse, that's what he was talking about in verse 15 to 17. So I think the words of what the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us out of his word really are what ought to guide us for 2013. And the first is, we've got to realize as Christians that our time on earth is limited, and we do need to make the most out of the time that God gives us. Would you agree? You know, he doesn't want us to waste the time. We're not supposed to sit around and contemplate the lint in our navels. We're not supposed to just go out and sit on a hill and go, om. We're supposed to make use of the time that God has given us. He's given every one of us time to use. And he wants us to use it to his benefit. Amen? You know, I'm not talking about using your time to make, you know, just to do religious things or churchy things. That's not what he's talking about. We need to use the skills that he's given us for his glory. Every one of us has been given certain skills. You know, he's given you God-given desires. Use them for his glory so that you can edify and you can help others. Honor him in everything that you do and everything, your work and everything, the skill trades or whatever it may be, your schooling, your inquisitiveness, you know. Use it to honor God. And some of you, you know, you're involved in building things and whatever, but it's the same thing. Use your time wisely. Use your time wisely to help develop relationships so you can show Jesus Christ, so you can salt and flavor somebody else's life, so you can help point them toward the Savior. Again, that's part of that time thing. We've got to understand, folks, what the will of the Lord is in our lives if we are going to navigate 2013 very well. We've got to understand what God's will is in each one of our lives. For your life individually, for your family's life, for our church life, we've got to understand the will of the Lord. And, you know, we start off 2013, it's a brand new year. How many of you have sat down and did the resolution thing? Oh, good. Wise people. Because we usually, when we write up resolutions, what do? We will have broken them already, right? But one thing that I think, you know, a new year does encourage us to do is to sit down and do some spiritual reflecting. Have you done that yet? If you have not, would you do so? And ask yourself, I'd like for you to ask this question. What do you think that God's will is for you in 2013? What is God's will for you in 2013? I'd like for you to give some thought to that. Use this, you know, use some time this week to think about that. And as you do so, I don't think you're going to find that Jesus says, oh, I want you to sit around and mope. My will for you in 2013 is to mope. My will for you in 2013 is to be the prophet of doom and gloom. My will for you in 2013 is to stress out and blow a gasket. I don't think so. I don't think God wants you to ignore your spiritual well-being. Amen? Amen. And I don't think Jesus wants us just to be focused on making money or doing good things regardless of how good that might seem, especially if we don't include him in it. Amen? Amen. I don't think Jesus wants us to build our calendars and our schedules such that we crowd him out, unless there just happens to be a vacancy. Oh, gee, I've got a day open. I guess I can use that for Jesus. One out of 365, not bad. That'll make Jesus happy. I just don't think that's what he's looking for. So as you sit down and you ask yourself, what is God's will for me? One of the first things I think every Christian has to come to is you have to realize you're going to have priorities in your life. Amen? And you know who your first priority has got to be? It has got to be Jesus Christ. Jesus has got to be number one. Now, I'm assuming that, you know, since all you guys are here this morning, apparently part of your goal is to worship God. Apparently, you know, because you love God, you want to worship him. Amen? So when you set up your priorities of putting Jesus first, then look and say, where does he stand in my life in all things? Not just on Sunday morning. Where does he stand in my life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? You've got to ask yourself the question, who or what is my number one priority? That's where it all starts at. And I would hopefully, every Christian could say, the number one priority in my life is my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. I would hope we could say that. That's what we should be saying. Amen? He's got to be our first love. And because if he is our first love, that's going to affect every one of my everyday decisions. Where I'm going to go, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. Everything. Right from the beginning. It's going to affect my scheduling. How am I, you know, what am I going to put in my calendar? What am I not going to put in my calendar? It's going to affect my relationship with others. Who am I going to relate with? Who am I not? Who am I going to hang out with? Who am I going to, you know, if I were a young person and dating, who am I going to date? Who am I going to marry? Things of that sort. It all goes back to who is number one in my life. Is it Jesus? Because he's going to influence our whole entire being. And folks, if you really are sincere about having Jesus as number one in your life, then you might have to make a few changes in 2013. But you know what will happen? You will show him to other people. You will salt, you will flavor other people's lives when you put him first in your life. Because when he comes first, the worship, it just becomes phenomenal when you come together as a church body and you worship when Jesus, when you can tell, Jesus is number one on some days and some days he's not. But when he is, the roof just lifts. Amen? Amen. Now, I've got to put him number, this is, I'm just going to hit it. I've got to put him as number one in my life and everything, right? That's a given. But what do I do from there? Well, I'm going to have to become a disciple, a real follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means I'm going to have to spend some time with Jesus every day. That doesn't mean I'm going to spend all day reading the Bible. It doesn't mean I've got to spend all day meditating. But it means I've got to set up a time in my life throughout the day, it doesn't matter when, that you sit down and you pick up the Word and you get into it and you put your nose in it and you start talking to the Lord. And you say, Jesus, what does that mean to me today? Lead my life today. Strengthen me today. And he will. He'll honor that. I've been reading this book called Cost of Discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of y'all know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, know the name? Okay. He made a statement. He said, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. In other words, if you don't have Christ as your number one priority in your life, you're lying to him and everybody else when you say, I'm a Christian. Amen. That plain and simple. He's got to be there. Christianity without discipleship. And discipleship means you're going to be talking to him. You're going to be reading his word. You're going to be worshiping him. You're going to be serving him. He's going to be an integral part of everything you do. You're going to make decisions based upon him. Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. That's religion. Amen? Yeah. That sounds harsh, but I mean, it's true. When you sit down and you really let your mind get wrapped around it and let the Lord show you, you're only going, yeah, oh gosh, that means I'm going to have to change some things. We were talking about that the other day. We said, you know, church people are probably the worst ones of wanting to change, not hating to change things. Sometimes we got to change things in our own personal lives. Amen? There is no way that we can really get into discipleship unless we include praying and reading God's word regularly. You gotta. If you want 2013 to go well, Jesus, number one, get into the word and read it and pray. And 2013 will be starting to move in the right direction. The other thing that I'd really encourage you to do is pray for yourself as you're doing some of that praying time. Pray for yourself because you need it. Every one of us do. We got to pray for ourselves. God wants us to. He says, bring your petitions before me, doesn't he? He wants us to. He wants to talk to his children. So we need to pray for ourselves, and we also need to pray for our families. We need to pray for people all around us at work. When is the last time you prayed for all your coworkers? Just think about it. You don't have to answer. Pray for the people who live on your block, on your street. Can you imagine what your neighborhood might turn into if all your people got saved? Wow! That would be cool, wouldn't it? But lift them up by name. One of the cool things when you do pray for them, you know what you might be able to do when you run into them? You say, you know, I prayed for you today. And they go, wow, is that why my life went better? I might say, why it went worse. But probably they're going to say, wow, I appreciate that. Thank you. And you might have an opportunity to pray for some of their family members. They say, oh, you're a Christian. Would you pray for? Amen. Gives you an opportunity. And you don't do it because you want opportunities. Do it because you love Jesus. Jesus told us we ought to. So just do it. Amen? Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Brother Clint also. He's our pastor too. Pray for April. Pray for Jenny. Pray for you guys' kids. Pray for our missionaries. Guess what? We all appreciate it. And you know something else? We need it. I bet you two guys, you're the reason why my message changed. You were probably praying for me. I know they do. That's why I'm glad I got a good relationship with that praise team, because otherwise I couldn't do this. But I know that's, I mean, you guys do. And that's why God changes messages sometimes. Thank you. Keep it up. So my email back to you was not a nasty one. But you just never know how much a prayer will bless somebody else's life. And you'll get blessed and you'll be growing in your faith. Next thing I want, you know, I really encourage you. Number one, Jesus number one in your life. Number one. I mean, Jesus number one. How many of us can say that? Hold up one finger. The number one finger. Jesus number one. Pray. Read his word. Next thing, families. We need to spend some time with our families. Quality time with the families. That means husbands, you spend some time with your wives, me included. Have a date night. Do something special. Some of you do this already. Those of you who do this, is this good stuff? It works, doesn't it? Yeah. Don't let anything else interfere. You know, take your wife out to a nice restaurant. Wife, take your husband out to a nice restaurant. Spend the time together. See, we like that. Spend some time with your kids. Quality time with the kids. Spend some quality time with the grandkids. They're growing up fast. I know ours are. Man, every time I turn around, they're doing something different. I got a granddaughter. I mean, I'll brag on her. I mean, this little brainiac. Praise God. She just got accepted into the NASA summer program. It's a science program for, you know, I mean, they've got to be way up here. I mean, super achievers in math and science. And she's going to get to be in this. There's a semester and summer NASA program. She'll get to spend, I think it's a week or two at NASA itself over in Houston. I mean, praise God. I'm proud of the girl, you know. But they grow up so fast. Spend some time with them. Encourage them. Be sure to share Jesus with them. Amen. Don't let the time get away from you, you know, because your family needs to be right up there. You work. You got Christian folks at work. You got unsaved folks at work. But your boss ought to know you is the number one. You are the one he can count on to get the job done as a believer. Your boss ought to be able to count on you. Do you know how much easier that's going to make your life in 2013 if your boss knows he can count on you? Amen. Give them the honest day's work. No cheating. They know, I mean, that's what they really are hoping for. And we Christians shouldn't disappoint them. Amen? Establish your priority. Who's a priority?
Jesus.
What's the next thing we're going to do? We're going to do prayer and read. What are we going to do next? Spend quality time with family. What are we going to do next?
Honor Jesus in our work.
He didn't even have a copy of the... Gee, I love it. You can read... Oh, ah! Yeah, I know that's up there. The other thing, and this comes out of this passage again, we need to remember that we're living in the day. We're not living in the past. We're not living yet in the future. We've got to remember that today's the day that I can influence somebody. I can show Jesus in my life today. I don't pray exactly. I can't sit there and do this. Well, gee, I wish it were like that. Because I'm living in the past when I do that. Amen? And I can't go, well, gee, I wish I could do that next week. That's future living. I've got to live today. And if I'm honoring Jesus, I'm going to live this day. I will live the day for Him. Tomorrow will be today. And I'll live tomorrow as today for Him also. Amen? But it's a heck of a lot easier living it one day at a time than it is trying to live it all next year. Amen? Amen? Live the day for Him. Priority?
Jesus.
Disciple? Show Jesus in your work. Live each day. That's not too hard, is it? I didn't want to give you a long list. I mean, it could have come up with about 20 or 30, but that usually, yeah, that's five. Keep them all in one hand. One point, one hand. One point is Jesus Christ. He's the one. Put Him first and obey Him. Listen to Him. Trust Him. Walk with Him each and every day. And you know what's going to happen? You will go through 2013 in first class style.
Amen.
Because you have Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come to You and we thank You so much that You do love us. You love us. You care for us. And You're there for us. Father, help us as we go into 2013, as we move in month by month, as we each and every day, help us to put Jesus as our number one priority. Help us to spend that quality time with You. Help us to spend the quality time with our families. Help us, Father, to show Jesus Christ in our workplace, in our schools, wherever we may be. Help us to show others, Father, what You've given us. I pray, Father, this morning that if there be any with us that, or who would hear on the internet or on the webcast, if there be any who do not know your son, Jesus, I would pray, Father, that they would accept the gift that you're holding out to them right now, the gift of eternal life through him. May they accept him. May they receive that gift. And so I just lift this up to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.